the on-bill part of it makes it easier for the customer. And one thing that, that's critical on all these programs is that there's not a whole lot of red tape. Simpler the better.
Saving money on energy costs can be as much a hassle as a benefit. It's often hard to study what's cost-effective, and then there's the big dollar investment up front. Altogether, many people live more expensively and much less comfortably than they could. But some electric utilities make it easy. Brian Dreiling, Manager of Energy Services at Midwest Energy, spoke this week with John Farrell about how his electric cooperative is making energy savings more accessible through on-bill financing. With little to no money up front, and a professional energy audit and team to guide the customer through the upgrade process, saving energy has never been so simple and smart. This is Local Energy Rules, a podcast sharing powerful stories about local renewable energy.
So what I'm curious to start with is, you know, what's the biggest reason that Midwest Energy opted to offer an on-bill financing program instead of maybe a more traditional energy efficiency utility program that would offer rebates to customers but kind of leave them to their own devices for figuring out how to pay for energy efficient appliances?
Well, John, we've been in the energy efficiency business for a lot of years, well over 25 years, and over those years we've tried a lot of different methods. And one of the things that we found out is that giving the customer the knowledge they need to make those changes, the energy audits and things like that, are an important part. And finding good contractors to provide them those services is also a big part. But without the financing side, things just don't happen for us. And so over the course of these many years, we've tried many different methods, some of the rebate things that just simply did not work for us very well, and also a couple different loan programs, now some on the bill and some not on the bill. The on-the-bill financing seems to make it a little bit easier for the customers to use.
So in the case of on-bill financing, you know, let's say a customer is doing some insulation, maybe upgrading their furnace, they don't have to pay anything up front, is that correct? And so who's providing the money to do these improvements?
Well, on our program, because everything is based off of the energy savings, typically there isn't anything that they have to pay up front as long as the savings are greater than the expense of the improvement. And that's stretched over a 15-year period. So, but some of our customers do have to pay up front, especially if they want to do high-ticket items, for instance, like changing out windows, that don't necessarily save that much, but they have a high front-end cost. So we may pick up a certain percentage of, you know, most of our customers will pick up around 80% on something like that.
And where does the rest of the money come from? Is it just coming from the utility?
Yeah. We get our funds from several different places. We're always looking for low-cost money. It's important that we can get the 0 or 2% interest stuff, because the cost of money is spread out to our customers, so we want to do it as cheaply as we can. So we borrow money sometimes from the state organizations. They might have a energy efficiency program, or the USDA has some great programs that we've tied into. So we get our monies from a lot of different sources, as well as put our own utility money into it also.
Now, with the on-bill financing, you know, the payment for this loan that the customer is taking out is done through their utility bill rather than through a separate entity like a bank. How does that help with getting, you know, more people to participate? And then, you know, have you had issues with, as I understand it, you know, a customer could have their power shut off if they don't pay their bill. Has that been any kind of an issue for you in doing the on-bill financing?
No, actually, the on-bill part of it makes it easier for the customer. And one thing that's critical on all these programs is that there's not a whole lot of red tape. Simpler the better. And putting something on their utility bill is really nice. And since it stays with the property, the right place is on the bill. And you are correct that because we as a utility view this as an investment in our system, these improvements, then it becomes part of our regular utility service. So we can and do shut off for non-payment.
Have you found that there are that many customers that are not able to pay it? You know, as you mentioned before, the structure for most of these investments, unless the customer wants to do something like windows that's more of a maybe an aesthetic thing than an energy-saving option, that the savings are going to be higher than their monthly payments. So do you find that there's really a lot of many situations in which the participation in this program is affecting that issue with non-payment?
No, because we only finance the piece of this that is covered by the savings. So the net result is their bill will be less than it was before. And if we do happen to have a customer that is struggling to pay their bills, even through after this program, we as a utility are looking at it, if they were running up high utility bills and couldn't pay us, or if they were running up lower utility bills plus a payment and still can't pay us, we're still ahead. We don't leave as much out there as we normally would.
I've never thought of it that way. That's very helpful. So does the, you know, coming back to this issue of the structuring the improvements to cost less than the savings, does that end up limiting what you can do? But conversely, does that help get more participation in the program?
Well, it does limit what we can do, and it's a self-limiting thing, which is kind of nice because we don't get caught up in all the hype of the newest thing on the block, because sometimes the newest things on the block cost a lot of money and don't save as much as we think. So it does limit us on how much money we can supply toward one project. It also helps the customer realize that these improvements that they're making may or may not always pay off, even though they still want to do that. So it gives them a better sense of really what the energy savings can be or should be. Does it limit participation? It might a little bit. If we have a customer who has a fairly efficient furnace and fairly efficient air conditioner and our house is in good shape, but say the furnace is just bad, it just needs to be replaced. We may be only cover 30% of that project. And so they may choose to go somewhere else to get the money because we can't cover it all anyway.
Maybe just to make sure I understand that. So if a customer had an old furnace that was going to need replacing anyway, you might help them finance kind of the incremental amount that they would need to buy a furnace that was high efficiency, but not necessarily finance the entire thing?
That is correct, because whatever they say, their savings has to be greater than the payment back to us.
You mentioned this before about one of the things that is true of this financing is that it stays with the meter. So what happens then when a customer moves and they leave behind both the improvements and the payment? Is that right?
That is correct. You know, there's two scenarios here. For instance, if a customer, an owner, sells his property that has one of these Housemart projects on it, then with notice, a notification to the buyer, then the buyer will assume these charges, but they're also getting the savings because the equipment stays with the property. So that works out pretty well that way. Where it is particular of interest to us is in the rental properties. We have property owners who maybe don't always want to fix up their properties because they're not paying the bills anyway. So they don't see any benefit for saving energy, but the tenants do. So what we do is we go in and we'll do this audit and we'll determine what savings the tenant will see, and then we do 90% of that, and that's the amount of the Housemart charge, and then we could help finance the new equipment, insulation, air sealing, you name it. And the landlord doesn't have to actually pay that. His tenants do. Tenants are happy because their bills are 10% less than they would have otherwise, probably more comfortable and safer. And everybody's pretty happy on that deal.
You know, perfect segue into my next question, which was to talk about how, you know, many electric cooperatives tend to serve disproportionately low-income customers or fixed-income customers. How does the on-bill repayment program help them achieve energy savings specifically? And the rental property is obviously a very important one. We're actually in the process of working with utilities in the city of Minneapolis about that. And that landlord-tenant tension has been an interesting one where, like you said, you know, maybe the tenants are the ones that pay the energy bills and the landlords aren't interested. So what I hear you saying is that the on-bill financing program can go directly to the tenant. You don't have to worry about working with the landlord who may not have a vested interest in the energy costs of the property.
Right, but here's the thing. We require both of them to be on board with us, for one. And two is, if we have the situation where a lot of work needs to be done, and maybe not all of it is cost-effective from an energy standpoint, then the landlord will have to pick that up. And our tenants, or our landlords, I should say, you take advantage of this. For instance, they will have a unit where the furnace goes bad. And we go in and we say, you know, we can't cover, the savings won't cover 100% of it, but it will cover 75%. Then the landlord, who would have had to replace the furnace anyway, is now only having to come up with 25% of the cost of that furnace, and his tenants pay for the other 75%. So it gets the tenants and the property owners talking, because they're both coming out.
Do you have any situation in which you have, we have something here called ratio utility billing, where we have some tenants who they do pay per the portion of the utility bill, but their property isn't metered separately. So we don't know exactly, let's say there's four tenants in a building, the utility bills for the building will simply be divided four ways. And so in that instance, you have tenants who are responsible for it, but you don't know individually how much they would be responsible for. So in that case, you'd have to go in and sort of help the entire building, right? You couldn't just do anything for a particular tenant for one unit.
That's correct, because one of the things we do in this whole process is it has to be metered, and we have to be able to see what they use, and then we calibrate our model that actually adjusts or calculates the savings off of the past usage. So, we have to take it at the meter level, and that, everything is tied to the meter, so that's the appropriate place for us to do that.
So Midwest Energy, you know, has not only a successful on-bill financing program, but was also, as I understand it, the first Kansas cooperative to offer a community solar program. Is there something about Midwest Energy that sets it apart from other cooperatives and kind of this focus on member services, or do you think these are programs that any cooperative could offer?
Well, Midwest Energy for decades now has kind of been a little bit of a different animal out there. I mean, we're a little bit different in the fact that we have both gas and electric. We're a little bit different that we were a co-op that actually bought some IOUs, and we're always looking to expand. So a lot of these opportunities and different things come from that mentality that we're always asking our members, hey, what do you want? What's new? What's going to help us provide these services for a cheaper and more efficient way? And so we always come up with these types of things, and our board, clear down through every employee, is constantly looking for ways to increase our service area and again just do a better job. So I think all utilities can do it. It's we are the perfect size, I think, for this financing program. It's easy for us to administer. We do it all on hand or in house, and I think it's because we're about the right size.
How many customers do you have, or how many meters does Midwest Energy have?
Well, we have about 50,000 electric and about 45,000 gas. You know, this new loan program is relatively, we've only been doing the HouseSmart program now for about since 2007, and it's been a good program for us. I think we're currently, we've loaned out, 9.1 million dollars, And one thing I told you earlier is that we don't always cover everything. So our customers, I mean, when we actually get the price of the entire projects, we loaned out 9.1, but we generated 11.6 million. So the local contractors, which do a lot of our advertising for us, are actually seeing more work because of this program. So we're helping out on that side of things too.
Does Midwest Energy have like an energy efficiency requirement through the state, or do you measure kind of the overall impact of the program on the energy sales and for the utility?
We monitor that, and for the utility, we do it at the utility level. We don't do it at a statewide, but we do track every account, and we go back and do our spot checks to make sure we're still online. And the amount of energy is tremendous. I mean, we looked at this the other day, and just for instance, the amount of kilowatt hours that we saved is enough to supply 319 houses in our service territory for their total electric for a year. And the gas is even greater. I think it's up around 550 houses, the gas savings. And that's just since 2007.
Yeah, that's That's remarkable. Does it sort of expand over time? Are you getting kind of more interest and more business on an annual basis over time? Or do you find that you have a similar number of people every year who are participating?
Yeah, we're pretty consistent. We usually, our annual goal is for around 200 customers, and it seems like we'll be around that 200, 220 mark, every year since we started. The first year was a little slow, first 2 years. But once the word is out, they picked it up pretty quickly.
Brian, is there anything else that you think we should know about Midwest Energy or about how OnBill financing can help electric cooperatives or gas cooperatives, I guess in this case, help serve their members and also offset energy demand increases?
You know, probably the biggest thing that we do that I think is unique is that we actually make sure that our numbers are realistic. Over the years, we've used a lot of different programs to try to determine what the savings will really be, and so many times they're over-exaggerated. We're very careful and we're pretty conservative about bringing that number into reality, and that's why we always want some kind of past history. So being straight up front with the customers and saying, hey, this is you may want to replace this, but it doesn't necessarily always pay for itself over time, but it still may not be a bad idea. And we show them that up front, and I think they have a little more trust in us because of that.
That was Brian Dreiling, Manager of Energy Services at Midwest Energy, talking with John Farrell, ILSR's Director of Energy Democracy, about OnBill financing at his electric cooperative, Midwest Energy. More information about Midwest Energy's How Smart program can be found on the cooperative's website at mwenergy.com. Even more information about OnBill financing and the other opportunities at electric cooperatives can be found in ILSR's new report, Remembering the Electric Cooperative. Our report and more local energy rules podcasts can all be found at ilsr.org. Until next time, keep your energy local, and thanks for listening.